Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. By the way of the wicked, he brings them to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? And so, Father God, this morning, right in the middle of an election year, we hear the psalmist reminder, do not put your hope in princes. Do not put your hope in mere mortals who come and go. But put your hope in the Lord, the one who moves in love and justice, the one who cares for the very least of these, the one whose heart is tender and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Put your hope in this one. And so, Lord, we are here in this place together to once again put our hope in you. We are here to remember together how good you are and how powerful you are and how kind you are and how near you are. And so as we worship you in this place, would you fill our hearts with your joy and your peace and your hope? And Lord, on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember the many, many lives that have been laid down so that we might worship you freely in a place just like this on this day. We remember just that so often the cost of freedom asks some people for everything. And there are some who have so freely given everything. And we give you thanks for them. We pray for families who even to this day are grieving those who have lost lives in war and deployment. Lord, we pray together for the day when war does not take the lives of anyone anymore because war is no more. Oh, we long for that day. And on Memorial Day weekend, what you call our hearts to remember the most is that there is one who gave his life for everyone. Freedom for everyone forever. And we have come to worship his name, and it is Jesus. We remember him, and we don't just remember him. We know him, and we love him. And so, Lord, would you see our love through our worship this day? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to 1 John, we're starting this morning, a 6-week series in 1 John. It'll take us at least through June. It was going to be 5 weeks. And then after this sermon, I was like, it'll be at least 6. So we'll see how it goes. But this morning, 1 John verses 1-4. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Would you pray with me? And now, living God, just as John heard you and saw you and touched you, we have come to this place today because we too need to see you and hear you and feel your touch. And your word is a living word through the power of your Spirit. And so could we encounter you in this place through your word to us? We are your children and our hearts are open. And so would your Spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anyone remember anything important that happened 50 years ago? 1974 would be the year. Anything from that year ring a bell? Hmm? You got the military? That's significant. That is the year. You got something, Mary?
Yeah.
What?
Gas wars,
and I don't know about that. Google didn't tell me that, and I wasn't alive, but I believe you. 1974, Richard Nixon resigned due to the Watergate scandal 50 years ago. 1974, Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's home run record. 1974, the Rubik's Cube was invented. It's the year that my mom and dad graduated high school. That was a long time ago, 1974. Most of the folks who are old enough to actually remember that year are now living off their 401ks and starting to think about how they want to live the remaining seasons of life well. Starting to think about what they want their kids and their grandkids to know, what kind of legacy they want to leave behind. It's been around 50 years since Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and ascended into heaven. And John, the beloved disciple who had seen the empty tomb, who had witnessed the miraculous catch of fish, the one who had front row seats on that Mount of Transfiguration, the one who had passed out those baskets of bread until 5,000 people were fed, the one who was entrusted alone to care for Jesus's mother, Mary, the one who saw the risen Jesus with his very own eyes. He is getting old. He's probably in his 90s. And he's got to be one of the last people alive who actually saw, encountered Jesus with his own eyes. One of the last ones to still be standing here on earth. And he is overseeing this network of small house churches around Ephesus. They're made up of mostly Jewish believers of Jesus. And these people have gone through some recent crises in their church community. There are folks who have left the faith altogether because of false teaching. Others have trickled out because of persecution. The church is getting smaller, and John's heart is breaking. And so this old apostle, the one who had loved Jesus as much as anyone could have loved Jesus, and the one who loved these struggling little churches, sits at his desk and pulls out his pen and paper, and with this shaky little hand and this passionate heart, he begins to write a final message before he goes. What must these people know to carry on the faith? What must we know to do the same? And so for the coming weeks, we're going to sit at the feet of this old apostle, and we are going to hear what he has to say to the churches that he loved. And could he have imagined 2,000 years ago, words that he would speak to us, folks who are still around, because some people back then heard his words and actually chose to stay the course. And so here we are trying to stay the course too. So maybe 2,000 years from now, somebody, because of us, will then hear John because of them. It's just beautiful, this story that we're a part of. First things first, John says, let us be clear about who we are talking about here. Not what, but who draws us together. He says, the one who was from the beginning. John is echoing the words of Genesis 1:1. You know what those words say? In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And John is echoing his very own words from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. You remember how that starts? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who are we talking about? Jesus, the Son of God, who has always been from the beginning and who will always be. The one who was there at the dawn of creation. The one who spoke and his very words brought light into darkness and brought life into the vast void and who brought relationship onto this earth. Who are we talking about? John says, is the one whom he has seen with his own eyes and the one whom he has heard with his own ears and touched with his own hands. That this is not just some spirit that they imagined. And this is not just a metaphor that we would do well to live by. But he's saying we are talking here about the holy God incarnated, taking on flesh and blood and moving into our neighborhood to really, truly be with us, to live among us, to show us the way of love and to show us the way of salvation, to be our Savior. And to be our friend. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The same one who cried in a manger, needing a mom to scoop up his little fragile 6-pound body and feed him. Fully God and fully human. That's the one who holds the church together. And that is the one that we worship in this place. This is the one who has in his hands, John says, eternal life. It's not the first time John has said this. It's the one in John 14, the Gospel of John. He says, Jesus told him, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you will be also. He is not just the one that we serve here, but he is the one that we will live with forever. Us in this room, us whose bodies are wasting away day by day. Us who, like 90-year-old John, know what it's like to move a little bit slower than we used to. Us who know what it's like to have aches and pains in places we didn't even know were parts of our bodies a few years ago. Us in Jesus, what looks like it is getting closer to giving in and giving way is actually only ever getting closer and closer to life forever. Life fully alive, whole and healed. For God so loved the world, John said this too. John said a lot of things, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have what? eternal life. Before he says any word to the church, get this first, John declares. Don't forget for a second who holds us together. Don't forget for a second why we're here and who in whom we live and move and have our being. His name is Jesus, and he is God, John says loud and clear. His name is Jesus, and he is Lord. His name is Jesus, and he is Savior. His name is Jesus, and he is Creator. His name is Jesus, and he is life today, and he is life forever. His name is Jesus, John says, and he is light. His name is Jesus, and he is Son of Man, God in flesh, coming to us so that we might be with him. He's not just another prophet, and he's not just a wise teacher, and he's not just the man upstairs, and he's not just a great moral example, and he's not just a first century philosopher, and he's not just a crutch for weak people who need religion. No, that won't do, John says. Forget what the world says. Forget what pop culture says. He tells his people, forget what the pagan Romans or what the hard-hearted Pharisees are saying. John cries out. He says, I have met him and I know who he is. Jesus is God Almighty. He is Lord of all. And he's saying, I'm telling you, church, you can meet him and you can know him too. And once you know him, once you really know him, no one's going to be able to talk you out of knowing him. Not when you've encountered, really encountered our Lord. Church, John cries. Get serious about knowing who Jesus is. And don't forget it. Because everything else hinges on us holding fast to Jesus. In this world that we're living in these days, of you find your truth, and I'll find my truth. I'm here today. Proclaiming humbly but unapologetically alongside the Apostle John that there will be a day when every knee bows in the presence of the way and the truth and the life. And his name is Jesus. He's not just my truth. He is the truth, capital T-H-E, the truth. And nothing else in John's letters matters if our hearts are not yet ready to declare Jesus is God and Jesus is Lord. Here's a beautiful thing. Something that's totally overwhelming. But I fear when we heard it just a moment ago from John, we missed it because there wasn't this audible gasp that went across the room. And it's such a big deal that we had to have missed it. Because it's a really big deal. This Jesus that John calls us to remember, to know. God himself come to be with us. The one that John loved and the one who dearly loved John. This Jesus who John saw with his own eyes and heard with his own ears and touched with his own hands. This Jesus, John says he's writing. So the people of the church, that is us, might have the same fellowship with Jesus that he has. The one who saw him and heard him and touched him. And he says it's the same fellowship that the Son and the Father share together. He just invited us into that very same fellowship. Audible gasp. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Does anyone in this room have a relationship with a famous person? Just anybody? You, who Tina? Huh? Something, something Co, not...
Rex Allen Co.
Rex Allen Co, okay, okay. Well, I... Okay. Anybody else? Maybe like an old college roommate who's now a famous athlete, politician, a pop star. Yeah, you got someone?
My old neighbor, he tours in Brazil.
Oh. Okay, a Brazilian star. Anyone at least acquaintances with a famous person? Yeah, we got some. We don't have to hear them all, just anybody at least had a run-in with a famous person? Yeah, tons. Saw him in the airport, saw him at a restaurant. Hopefully you weren't the weird person. You just kind of let him be there. But it's a big deal. It's a big deal. When Guy and I were in New York City a couple years ago, we got to one night, we got tickets to go on the Stephen Colbert show. I mean, not like as guests, like to be in the room. And just to be in the same room with him, we were texting everyone we knew. We're in the same room. There he is. He's right there. Turn on the TV. You might see us. I mean, it was like we thought it was a big deal. And we were so close to him, he may as well have known us. At Christmas time, I often share this picture. Diana, if you'll pull the picture up. This famous picture of John Jr. playing under his dad's desk. And the thing we love about this picture is we know that there's more than just a kid playing in his dad's office. His dad is not just anyone. And this isn't just any old cubicle office. His dad is the President of the United States. And this is the Oval Office, an 816 square foot room that few people will ever step inside. But here's this little toddler just playing like it's an ordinary day in an ordinary place, just hanging out with his daddy. And if any one of us was standing in the Oval Office with the president today, you know you'd be selfieing and texting everyone in your contacts. Look where I am. How cool is this? Look who I'm next to. Look where I am. Whether our stories tell of run-ins with celebrities or just a whole bunch of days with average Joes all around us, John says this, church, I am writing to you right now because you have got to know. Just as truly as I sat at the table and dined with Jesus, just as truly as I walked by his side from town to town, just as truly as I got to know him as a true friend, you can too. You're invited into the same intimate relationship with Jesus that I had. And we are both invited into the same depths of relationship that the Son shares with the Father. And that, my friends, is relationship on steroids. It is intimate beyond what we have ever known. The Son and the Father, that is belonging together every moment of every day. That is being known fully and fully knowing the other. That is enjoying one another in each other's presence, sharing all of life together. Whether we know it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we experience it or not, whether we have even begun to tap into it or not, the invitation is just the same. My friends, we are invited to know, to really know, to hang out with, and to love Jesus just like John knew and hung out with and love Jesus. We can hear his voice, and we can see his presence, and we can know his touch too. And I tell you, that is way better than a kid hanging out in the Oval Office. because we are children of the living God. And we are invited to live in this place where heaven comes to earth. And the God of the universe is literally right here with us. And we don't have to go find him in his office. He dwells in our homes. Even better, he dwells in our hearts. Do you realize how big of a deal this is? Wow, cool. Do you realize the overwhelming invitation? If that doesn't bring you to life, I don't even know what will. Because there is nothing better than that. This is the life we are invited into, intimate fellowship with the living God himself. Living with Jesus just as closely as Peter and John lived with Jesus. Entering into the relationship of perfect love, just like the Father and Son share. It is ours for the taking. Just because we aren't tapping into it doesn't mean it's not right there. Intimate life with Jesus, literally, it is right there. Verse 4. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. I love that. I love that this life that John has in Jesus, as wonderful as it has been, doesn't in and of itself make his joy complete. I love that. His joy is complete only when this wonderful love he knows moves beyond him and others embrace it too. This is joy, knowing Jesus and seeing to it that others have every opportunity to know him too. There's no formation without outreach, and there's no outreach without formation, right? That's it. This is full joy, knowing Jesus and seeing to it that others have every opportunity to know him too. When you give a little kid a really special toy, one of two things can happen, right? Sometimes that kid will grab that toy and then they begin in that moment making every effort to keep it to themselves because it is a very special toy. And other kids come near and the little one shouts out what? Mine! No, mine, mine! And then they turn their back on community to protect their toy. And if it comes to it, they might have to push and shove anything to keep someone else from taking their most special thing. And it backfires on us. What was supposed to bring this child joy is now making them this anxious little ball of nerves, and they are not enjoying their toy at all. Rather than play with it, they're too busy keeping it from others, and they are totally missing the point. Their joy is not complete. The toy itself is not enough. Sometimes you'll find that child, sometimes, who knows they have a really special toy, and they cannot wait to show it to someone else. My little baby, he's only 11 months now, so he doesn't know enough yet about being selfish. He'll get there, but he still thinks there's enough toys to go around. And so while we were camping this weekend, he would pick up a rock, and there's a lot of rocks. He'd pick up a rock and turn to me with his big old smile, like, look, my rock. And I'd take it, oh, well, pick another one up. Look at my rock. We were just sharing rocks for an hour, this joy, and I found this amazing thing. You got to see it, too. This joy in letting another, a parent or a friend, marvel at this amazing toy, this amazing rock, and say, isn't this wonderful? I can see it too. With this big old grin, they share it because in our heart of hearts, we know what my little 11-month-old has not yet forgotten, and that is that we are created in our best selves to share the very best things one with another. And our world quickly tells us to hoard and to hide it and to make them go find it themselves. And our God says, this is joy. Knowing how much I love you and sharing that love with everyone you can. My friends, we are loved with a healing love. And we are loved with a forgiving love. And we are loved with an unconditional love. This is the kind of love that brings dead people to life and resentful people to relationship and angry people to peace. This is the kind of love that brings fearful people to courage and weary people to rest and cynical people to faith. That's the kind of love it is. And we know this love because we know our Jesus. And this is the love that every single person who is hurting and lost in our world is looking for, all of them. And we know this love. Are we keeping it to ourselves? There is no joy in that. This is what makes our joy complete, seeing them know the love of Jesus too. The Apostle John had the most intimate relationship with Jesus we could imagine. And yet his joy is not complete until it goes beyond him. And others know it too. Who have you shared the love of Jesus with lately? There's no joy if we keep it to ourselves. With his hand trembling, 90-year-old John begins with these urgent words. Church, don't forget who Jesus is. He is God, and he is Lord, and he is nothing less. Period. Church, know this. You can know him too. You can see him as I've seen him. You can hear his voice just as I've heard his voice. You can feel his touch just as I felt his touch. You're invited to be as close to Jesus as Jesus has been to anyone. Do you believe that? It's true. It's true. For he is your Lord, and he is your Savior, and he is your good shepherd, and you are his child, and you are his sheep, and you are his beloved, and he wants nothing more than to be fully in real relationship with you, and he is holding nothing back. And so long as we aren't either, divine fellowship is for us to know. Isn't that good news? And finally, John says, this is true joy, knowing Jesus and making him known. Being loved by Jesus and giving others every opportunity to know he loves them too. With this foundation, these three things, we are ready now for anything else that John has to say. And does he have some wonderful things to say? Come back next week, and the next one, and the next one, and we're going to get to it because this is a wonderful book, a wonderful letter, and it will change our hearts for the living of these days. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you are Lord, Savior, God, Son of God and Son of Man, Creator and Sustainer, our good shepherd, our friend. We lay our lives before you once again this morning, for you are worthy of all we have to give. Thank you that you know the depths of our hearts and how hard we can be, how cruel we can be, how selfish we can be, how lazy we can be, how whatever we can be. And even on our worst day, you invite us into fullness of relationship with you anyway. Because you love us with a forgiving, grace-filled love. Thank you that you've given all of yourself, pulled out all the stops to be with us. Help us return the favor. giving everything we need to give to be with you. And thank you that you call us into the same beautiful calling as John, to experience the fullness of joy, not just in us knowing you, Jesus, but in faithfully making you known. Let it be so in my life and our lives. We pray. Amen.